welcome to another edition of the UK Law Weekly Podcast with me, your host, Marcus Cleaver. This week on the pod, we have a couple of cases for you that have been bundled together because they both relate to the European Arrest Warrant. Let's begin with Bertino and Public Prosecutor's Office Italy, which has the citation 2024 UKSC 9. At the centre of this case is Bertino, who was alleged to have engaged in sexual activity with an underage person back in 2015 when they were working at a holiday camp in Italy. As a direct result of this, he attended a police station in Sicily where he signed a document confirming that he was under investigation and confirming Italy as his country of domicile. This same document also warned that if Bertino changed his country of domicile, then documents would be delivered either to a defence lawyer of his choosing or to one appointed by the court. Problems began when later on in 2015, Bertino left Italy and moved to the UK. As such, the Public Prosecutor's Office in Italy was unable to successfully serve a writ of summons on Bertino in 2017, and a trial took place in his absence, where he was sentenced to 1 year's imprisonment. Fast forward to 2020, and a European arrest warrant was issued by the Prosecutor's Office of the Court of Pordenone, seeking Bertino's extradition. When the case came before a district judge here in the UK, the question was whether Bertino had, quote, deliberately absented himself from his trial, end quote, under Section 20, Subsection 3 of the Extradition Act 2003. It was decided that Bertino did indeed leave the country so that he could not be served with court papers, and that his manifest lack of diligence in moving address without alerting the authorities was enough to establish a deliberate absence. The High Court dismissed an appeal from Bertino, but did identify a point of law of general public importance, which was, for a requested person to have deliberately absented himself from trial for the purpose of Section 20, Subsection 3 of the Act, must the requesting judicial authority prove that he has actual knowledge that he could be convicted and sentenced in absentia. In other words, Bertino may have signed a document from the Italian police, but did he have actual knowledge that he could be convicted and sentenced in absentia? Furthermore, does the Italian Public Prosecutor's Office have to prove that Bertino had such knowledge in order for him to be extradited? The question went before the Supreme Court, which is where we pick things up. The justices began with the fact that Bertino was not at the trial. When this happens, there are a number of criteria that the state seeking extradition can potentially rely on in Article 4A, Paragraph 1 of the amended framework decision in order to secure extradition and remove any discretion of the extraditing state. In this case, none of those criteria were met, and the UK courts did have discretion under Section 20 of the Extradition Act 2003. This brings us back to the question of whether Bertino, quote, deliberately absented himself from his trial, end quote, in line with Subsection 3. The Supreme Court held that this is to be read in accordance with human rights law, and in particular case law of the European Court of Human Rights, under Article 6 of the Convention, which guarantees the right to a fair trial. This jurisprudence emphasises the importance of a defendant's right to be present at their own trial, and for a defendant to be notified of proceedings launched against them. In this regard, it is up to the judicial authority of the state seeking extradition to prove beyond reasonable doubt that the defendant has waived his right to be present at trial. This was not true of Bertino, who was aware of an investigation but had never been officially questioned, arrested, or charged. He was never officially informed that he was being prosecuted, and so there was no way that he could be said to have waived his right to be present at trial. As such, the appeal was allowed, the extradition order was quashed, and the appellant was discharged. Now, it would not surprise me if the initial reaction to this decision is a certain amount of surprise and dismay. After all, Bertino has been accused of a serious crime. Shortly afterwards, he has left the country, and now the UK is refusing to extradite him back to Italy. it all seems very dodgy. However, the circumstances of this case are quite unusual, and are really a failure by the judicial authority in Italy, more than anything else. The exceptions in Article 4A, Paragraph 1 of the amended framework decision are pretty comprehensive, and include things like the defendant being aware of the trial, him giving a mandate to a defence lawyer, or being served with the decision to convict in absentia. We know that Bertino was barely under investigation at the time by the Italian police, and so it is not surprising that none of the Article 4A, Paragraph 1 criteria were met. After that point, there is a big gap between Bertino leaving the country and him waiving the right to be present at his own trial. It is interesting that the Supreme Court found that there might theoretically be circumstances in which a defendant engages in extreme enough behaviour that they do waive that right, even though they do not have actual knowledge that a trial would proceed in their absence. Whatever those circumstances might be, that is certainly not the case here. Now, the next case that we are going to be looking at this week is Mertichiario and Judicatoria Arad, Romania, which has the citation 2024 UKSC 10. As with the previous decision, this also concerns a European arrest warrant. This time it was issued by Romania in respect of Mertichiario, who had been sentenced in absentia for committing burglary. When the case went before a district judge in the UK, it was found, as with the last case, that Mertichiario had not deliberately absented himself from the trial. However, in this case, the judge then went on to consider the question in Section 20, Subsection 5 of the Extradition Act 2003, which asks if the individual, quote, would be entitled to a retrial or, on appeal, to a review amounting to a retrial, end quote, when they return to their home country. The district judge concluded that Mertichiario was entitled to a retrial, even though there was a requirement to make an application, and that application was then contingent on demonstrating that he had not deliberately absented himself from trial. An appeal to the High Court failed, but the court did certify a point of law of general public importance. Namely, can a judge say that an individual is entitled to a retrial when it is contingent on a finding that the person was indeed not deliberately absent from their trial? That question for the Supreme Court is where we pick things up. The justices held that the key word in the legislation is entitled. In other words, a person must be entitled to a retrial. They can't merely be entitled to apply for a retrial. Such entitlement can't then be contingent on other factors, such as a finding by a court that a person was not deliberately absent from their trial. If the person has to take certain procedural steps to get to a retrial, then that is acceptable. But the justices had a problem with the idea of it not being guaranteed, and instead being dependent on those other factors. This interpretation of the law is supported by Article 4A, Paragraph 1 of the amended framework decision, which replaced the phrase, quote, opportunity to apply for a retrial, end quote, to, quote, right to a retrial, end quote. This clearly demonstrated an intention for an entitlement under the law to exist. And the interpretation is also consistent with the right to a fair trial under Article 6 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Given Mertichiario's lack of a right to a retrial, the extradition order was quashed and he was discharged. Now, not only was this decision a lot easier for the Supreme Court to arrive at than the first case we looked at, but I also think that it is less controversial as well. If a person was not deliberately absent for their original trial, then it only seems fair that they should be entitled to a retrial when they return home. This ensures fairness and a safe conviction. If that entitlement is not guaranteed, then a country should quite rightly refuse extradition. Overall, I think that both of these cases that we've looked at this week will only apply to a small range of scenarios, but I think we can nevertheless learn a lot about the European arrest warrant system. It is not about simply extraditing criminals back to their home country and trusting the judicial authorities of the requesting state. Instead, great attention has to be paid to the rights of the individual to secure a fair trial in line with Article 6 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Well, thank you very much for tuning into this podcast, and thanks as ever to bensound.com, who provide the theme music. Quick reminder before we go that if you would like to support the podcast and help to keep it ad-free, then you can subscribe to my newsletter and earn yourself some nice perks, including more content from me each week and a free ebook on how to answer essay questions on a law degree. If that sounds like something you're interested in, then do check out the link in the description to this podcast episode. Anyway, I'll be back with another episode next week, but for now, bye!